Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Woohoo! Oh, fuck, I can't see you now. Oh, I can see you!
Hey!
You're hiding behind my iTunes. I was just listening to the magnificent, Proclaimers, Sunshine on Leith.
What a song.
If I was ever to do a sort of a walk-on thing, if I was ever to do like a one-man show about my mental health,
yeah,
I think I would choose that as my walk-on music.
Oh, that's a great song. What if you're a darts player? That could be your tune.
Yes. Yeah. I could play darts professionally. No problem whatsoever. I'm very good.
Are you?
Yeah, really. Oh, I'm shit.
It's the Keith Walsh Podcast. It's essential like your breakfast. It will get you up and going, learn some things you didn't know. Yeah, it's the Keith Walsh Podcast. It's the Keith Walsh Podcast. Give you energy like Buckfast. And if your head's in a pickle or you're looking for a giggle, it's the Keith Walsh Podcast. Yeah. Oh.
You look like you're sitting in a throne.
I know, it's a big mirror behind me. And it's a... It's very grand.
What are you doing with the mirror? Are you bolting it to the ceiling so you and Mrs. Walsh can get up to some bedroom Olympics and look at yourselves from all angles?
Exactly. Yeah.
And there's a ladder there as well. There's going to be some jumping.
I jump off the ladder and we put the mirrors on the ceiling. What if you put the mirror on the floor and then you could just look down?
No, you see all the wobbly bits then.
Straddle the mirror. No.
No, you don't want it. No, people look more attractive from above than below. See all the openings.
You don't want to see the mechanics. You don't want to see the ins and outs.
The giblets.
Oh, I think you need to tuck yourself in there, love.
Oh,
God. I need to tidy yourself up.
Breathe in. Don't push.
Jesus Christ. Mike, how's it going? Did you get all your bits done? You did the big shop.
Huge shop in we went to Limerick to see my parents. Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year to you too, Mike.
Happy New Year to the listeners. Yeah. Yes, and to your family and all the listeners and listeners in listener land.
I sometimes forget about the listeners. This is just like a weekly phone call, Mike.
I know this is literally my only sort of
outlet.
Yeah, with other people who are relatively intelligent. I'm not saying you're intelligent by any stretch of the imagination compared to me, but you know, wow, look at your hair. Fucking what are you?
I'm going for a Jedward.
Fucking hell. I do quite like Jedward, actually, on the old Twitter. You can't hear now because you've taken your fucking headphones off.
Yeah, Jedward, they're turned into the good guys, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, they really are. They're like Team Britney, Team. They hate Simon Cowell.
Yeah, and Louis. Let's not mention his surname, just in case. He's litigious.
Louis the 16th.
Yeah, they hate him. He was a terrible ruler as far as they're concerned. The worst.
The bastards. Yeah.
They were okay. They don't mind Louis the 5th. He was all right.
Yeah. And of course, the sword from Louis the 17th was obviously one of their standout moments.
Yeah, they wrote a song about it. Hairspray, it was called. Or lipstick. Jedward are cool. I like those guys. Tell me about Limerick and the big shop and all that. This is what people are interested in.
Yeah, well, I went down to see my parents to see sort of Happy New Year and all that sort of, and we're kind of in their bubble at the moment. So went down to see them. And fortunately, my dad said to me, oh, here's something you might want. And he gave me a blood pressure monitor machine. So I now can do it all the time. Sitting at the dinner table, like eating like toasted sandwiches. There it is. Bang on the button again. Put that thing away. No, just one more.
What's that buzzing noise coming from Mike's pants?
Yeah, I didn't realize you didn't put that thing around your todger. Although I can imagine if you did,
yeah,
it'd be quite painful.
Be good, a good grippage, I'd say.
Oh yeah, lovely, lovely. Yeah, for alone time when Mrs. Marin's away,
you need
your blood pressure monitor.
Get the blood pressure onto your penis. just checking my penis blood pressure, love.
I wonder, can you do it? Because you can do it on your right arm and your left arm.
Well, if it's big enough,
your middle arm.
Yeah, the third leg. If it's big enough, you know.
No, mine wouldn't be big enough. I don't. Yeah, and we ended up going to Dunn's Stores, a massive Dunn's Stores in Limerick, which is like exciting for us because we don't go to little shops really. And the ones, you know, the normal shops close to us are like Lidl and Aldi and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But they've got like proper electric stuff in there and sort of those dryers you would, not the dry fryers. What are they called?
Air fryers. Yeah.
Are they, well, would you recommend one to a friend? Yeah,
100%.
Okay. Yeah. We're considering, neighbors of ours got one.
It's not a fucking car. It's not a big purchase. You don't need to think about it. Just get one and see.
You see, because there's I don't know what the thing is. There's like 3.2 litre ones and 4.5. Some of them have got different drawers and all sorts of fucking stuff.
Oh, well, I would get a small one like for 50 quid, just try it out. Like, because it's enough. There's three in the family. It's enough to do like
a
few handfuls of shoestring chips.
Yeah, well, I don't want handfuls of chips. You know what I mean? I'm a glutton when it comes to chips.
Well, you could just do your own. You can do them in lots of three. Maybe you do need a bigger one then. Sorry.
Yeah,
But great for like, you know, throwing on a few sausages, rashers, whatever. You're probably not eating any of that stuff at the moment, are you?
We don't eat that stuff anyway, really.
Yeah, yeah. Sausages are bad. I remember somebody's telling me, a doctor telling me, like, I'd prefer if you smoked than eat at sausages.
Yes. Yeah. They're fucking shit like.
Yeah. What was I going to say? What can you cook in them? What do we cook in them? Generally, like the thing that we use them for most was chips because we never deep fried chips and we always had oven chips. So this was a game changer for us. So it was kind of like, you know, not a bad version. You know, it wasn't quite oven chips.
And I have a technical question. What type of chips do you put in it? Do you put oven chips or do you put like the deep fryable chips? Because there's two different types of chips.
I don't know. I suppose you put in the oven chips, but they get the skinny fries. I don't know. I don't know, actually. Good question. I presume it's oven chips, but they're done. They're nicer.
Yeah, because they got salt on them. Food of the devil. Salt.
Do you eat salt now, Mike? What, can you not eat salt now because of the blood pressure?
Salt is the worst thing.
Is it worse than sugar?
Oh, yeah. Salt is like fucking through the roof.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Wow. I'm currently drinking out of a jug here.
Oh, God, that looks like fucking cow shit.
Mm.
What is it?
Today is my first day of no sugar.
I tell you what, I was just going to say, if anyone was listening to us, which they probably are, they've got a fucking pair of fatty fucks. I wasn't fatty until I started talking to you.
it's infectious. It's contagious. But I like, Mike, I went to town a little bit on the chocolate over Christmas, you know, and I don't even normally have dairy even, but I was eating a lot of chocolate, like, you know, whatever. I was going into the shop to buy Quality Street so I'd have a box of chocolates for the evening.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it was getting bad, man. I wouldn't eat the whole box, but I just, you know, just having it there. I think it's because I don't have anything else. Like, I'm not drinking. I'm not, you know. I've given up the prostitutes. The crack cocaine. So I need something. It's a crutch over Christmas. So,
Why Quality Street? I mean, surely Celebrations and Heroes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends. Sometimes it's Quality Street. Sometimes it's Celebration. We've been through a few boxes over the Christmas, you know.
Yeah, but I could never justify Quality Street.
Oh, really? I like Quality Street.
Oh, my God. They're not quality at all.
Oh, I like the big purple one and the... And the toffee ones and the, no?
Yeah, I get the toffee ones, but the ones that have the Maltesers in them. And you know what they should do is, you know, the Maltesers you get in the celebrations thing,
yeah,
which is kind of like an, it's like a kind of the Malteser itself is kind of ovoid, like an egg.
Yeah.
And the chocolate is kind of formed around it,
mm,
the flat bottom. So there's an extra little bit of chocolate. So if you like, if you really like, sort of like, you can chew with your teeth and you can kind of fracture the chocolate
and then chocolate off and then,
yeah, and then release
the Malteser.
I don't know why they don't make Maltesers like that, normal Maltesers.
Maybe they're looking into it. This is just the test. You know, this is the tester. So you can get the flat. You can get the flat Maltesers now, and then you can get the Malteser Christmas egg Santa shaped Easter bunny, whatever it is, the Santa shaped Easter bunny for Christmas Easter.
I think you're mixing up your holy things there.
Anyway, I have. So today is my first day of knocking the sweets on the head, and I'm having a smoothie which is made of frozen berries, bananas, and some almond milk, and I'm just sipping away on that just to get me through, keep myself occupied, you know.
Jesus, you'll be shitting rusty water out tomorrow.
That's good.
No, that's not good. That's a bucket for the listener, that he's got like a liter jug that you would like mix stuff in, yeah, like a proper plastic, like Pyrex-y type.
I should have put it into a glass, but I was in a hurry to come up here and start the computer up.
Yeah, you should have put it into something sort of, you know, like one of those kind of, you know, like those trendy people have,
like a smoothie mixer.
Like a Nutri-Bullet jug.
Yes, one of those.
But you should know, you're just using a fucking plastic old Tupperware, and I'd say that plastic has seen some use.
I'm an ignoramus. Yeah, it's a measuring jug, basically.
Yeah, you've probably mixed your baby's like formula in that
gravy. Probably mixed gravy. I'm drinking gravy. Ooh, gravy. I'm drinking gravy. I love a pint of gravy.
A pint of Bistol with fucking chips on the side.
But that's my New Year's resolution. I've started the new year now today.
With the
no more shit. No more shit, Mike.
I'm taking up the, I saw somebody on the television saying, don't do Christmas or New Year's resolutions because you're only setting yourself up for failure, especially if they've got an end date. I want to lose 3 stone. Then when you lose 3 stone, you just put it back on again.
So it just should be like, I'm going to just eat less sweets, like stop buying Quality Street boxes in the shop. Yeah. That's pretty much what I've done. And also I've started up the 100 days of no booze again. Obviously I don't drink, but for other people, if they want to give up the booze for 100 days, I have an Instagram account.
I saw that, but I've still got 24 cans of Guinness, so I won't be on that train. I'll be on that train for a while.
Why can't you just keep the Guinness till the end of the 100 days?
No, you can't be doing stuff like that. You see, we've kind of given up the salty snacks now, and the biggest way to do that is just not buy any.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I went a bit hog wild over the Christmas buying the hooch. I had this kind of, it's like a safety blanket, isn't it? You know, you just want it. You're going to think, oh, if it gets cold and I can't get out in the car because it's snowy, I might want to have a can of whatever just to get over it. And then you just buy it. And then stupidly, you drink it. And then I bought, like, every time I went to Lidl's or whatever, I bought a tub of Celebrations. And no, I had, like, at one point, we had 9 tubs of Celebrations. But if anybody turns up or you just want to say thank you for something, fucking really handy, or somebody blindsides you with a gift, box of Celebrations, perfect gift. So we only ended up with 2 left.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Yeah.
That's, and I ate them over the last 2 nights. What were we eating over Christmas?
Didn't have any chocolates or anything over Christmas.
No?
Nope.
But that's the time to eat. No.
That's wrong. That's, you see, that there's a stereotype and you're conforming to it.
Yeah.
You need to fucking just not associate these times. I ate dates and mango and little oranges.
Up until fucking yesterday, and then you had 2 boxes of Celebrations. Yeah. Don't come at me with the fucking, on your high horse.
With some strong lager. Chocolate and lager. Jesus.
What was the lager?
It was some, it's some little stuff. It's like 5%, their pills version or whatever. Bought some of that as well. just in case.
It's like Heineken, but it's called Reineken.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
Darlsberg.
Derlenbacher or something.
Perlenbacher. Oh, yeah, Perlenbacher, is it?
Yes, Perlenbacher.
Not too bad. Not too bad.
No, as my father would say, cut the stomach out of you, clean out of you. And I tried to get my family to watch a movie together last night. Lots of people have been watching this movie as a family. I think you've watched it. I think some of my heroes on the internet have watched it. And I said, okay, this is going to be great. And 40 minutes in, I said, lads, I'm going to go out to the bathroom for a second. I'll just put this on pause. And Sally Ann said, well, don't bother putting it back on.
Ooh.
And Jimmy said, yeah, I like it, but it's rubbish. It's too modern.
Ooh.
And I went, fucking hell. And I was really enjoying it. And can you guess what the film is?
I'm going to guess Don't Look Up.
Yeah.
And they didn't like it.
Not in the slightest. Sally Ann was offended by it.
Ooh. Offended by it?
Yeah. She thought it was like formulaic.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm making these noises. Ooh. Wow.
Well, it is. I thought it was a bit woo because it's a bit, you could see what they're trying to do. Have you seen it?
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I don't think I'd watch it again, but myself and Anna sat down and watched it from start to finish without really move. We made a cup of tea maybe once.
Yeah.
That was all we didn't, we pretty much watched it straight through without moving.
Yeah. It's long. It's like 2 hours and 20 minutes.
It is long. Yeah. But it's still a good sign for me. Like in the age of Netflix and you can literally just, you know, watch something for 10 minutes and then put on a different film. I thought it was pretty good. That was a good sign. And I thought it was funny. I liked the wit. I liked it was funny for me because I was like, this is, you know, this is actually happening. It's not a comet. The planet is, you know, we're heading for, the destruction of the planet, and you know we're focusing on anything but, and that's what I thought. That's what I was. That was the analogy for me. So I just thought this is fascinating, and I loved all the little inclusions of things like, you know, things trending and Twitter and social media, and I thought it was funny. I thought Meryl Streep was very funny as well. I thought
she was Trump.
Yeah,
she was Trump. Absolutely Trump. She was fucking brilliant. And I thought, you know, after all the stuff he said about her being some left-wing fucking, you know, Tony Award-winning, she can't even win a fucking Oscar kind of stuff, she just took the piss out of him.
Yeah.
We got 3 weeks for the midterm, so, guys, you know, you're fucking meteor, whatever it is, star.
No, when they discovered that... She went up in the ratings once she was seen smoking.
Yes, 3 points. Who fucking knew? Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
So what happened? You stopped watching it and you haven't seen... Have you watched the rest since? No.
No.
Okay. Well, look, Mike, listen. You sit down when everyone's gone away, or actually kick them out of the room and say, I'm sitting down tonight. I'm going to watch the rest of that film on my own. Thank you very much. That's something for you, Mike. They're going to miss out on the rest of that film.
Yeah, that's not the way it works in this house.
Oh.
No. I would have to do that when everyone's gone to bed. That's one of those kind of things.
Okay.
Like I did with Jimmy Carr. Oh, fucking hell. Yeah. Jimmy Carr,
his dark materials.
He's very, very funny throughout. There was belly laughs throughout. But when he gets to about the last 10 minutes and he says, do you want to hear my career-ending jokes?
Oh, my God.
It's like, oh, fuck, you think he's pushed the envelope. And then he goes like, he drops a gear. I mean, it's just fucking foul. But brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Did you feel like you had to watch that on your own because it wouldn't be, because the others wouldn't be into it? It's too much?
But no, I mean, that's funnily enough, Sally Ann, I said to Sally Ann, she came in at one point and I was watching it and because I was watching it like late afternoon and I said, watch this. And she did guffaw and belly laugh when he was talking about, he went into a whole thing on rape, which is not funny in any way, shape or form. But her and me were belly laughing at what he was saying, you know, and he explains why he's doing it. It's for fun. He's a very intelligent comedian. I like a bit of Jimmy Carr.
Yeah, because he's doing it in a way as what is the worst possible thing I could say?
Yep.
About, yeah, he does a very, he had a very racist joke about AIDS and black people and mosquitoes. I don't know if you've heard that one, but
I wouldn't
be able to even retell it, but
no,
you know, somebody asked him, what's the most shocking joke you ever came up with? And he said, well, this is it. And I don't understand, because we talked about getting cancelled on the last episode. I don't understand. Maybe it's the way he says it, because like, I think he sets it up well, maybe. Because Tommy Tiernan has gotten in trouble for making jokes about travellers, but it's in the same vein. Do you know what I mean? He likes the travelling people. He has respect for them, but
yeah.
But he'll just tell these outrageous jokes because he's a comedian. But I think the way Jimmy does is like, okay, here's 10 minutes of these jokes, as you said, my career-ending jokes. So he sets it up so everybody knows you're in a space here now where he shouldn't really tell these jokes, but he's letting you in on the jokes,
yes,
that what's inside, yeah, his head that, you know, he'll never be able to tell, except he's telling them, which is the difference between getting cancelled and being applauded, you know?
And speaking of being cancelled, I listened to, oh Christ, of course, here we go again, Tommy Tiernan being interviewed by the guy who you really like. He's English.
Frank Adam, Skinner.
No.
Adam Buxton. Yeah, that's a good
talking
one.
To Tommy Tiernan about, yeah, being cancelled.
Yeah.
And Tommy Tiernan, they tried to cancel him about some things he said about the Jewish community. But he was just talking about the Jewish community, but they put down on paper what he said, and it looked racist. But he said, when I said it, that wasn't, you know, I was talking to a room of people who got what I was talking about.
Yeah, in the context. So
and it's the context. And your man said to him, how did you get over that, whatever? He said, I thought, oh, fuck it, I'll just keep going. And he did.
Yeah.
And he became much more popular the other end of it.
Yeah, it was the tabloids seemed to have a bit of a thing for him and wanted to finish his career, one tabloid in particular. But it was
went out of business afterwards. It was at the Sunday.
The News of the World, I think.
Yeah.
Went out of business. God love them.
Dirty bastards.
Bastards. But yeah, he survived that. And I think he kind of came out and tried to, he came out and explained himself, you know?
Well, what he did was he released then the audio.
The audio, that's right.
Yeah. And said, listen, just fuck you. If you want to listen to it, listen to it. I'm not really interested. They're talking shite. This is what I said. And everybody kind of went, oh, yeah, well, that's, you know.
And that's scams. You know,
yeah, and instead of the paper going, oh, yeah, sorry, bang to rights, gov, they just doubled down and kept saying he was a racist, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, fucking hell, lads. How can you not get, like, I've just fucking told you what I've done.
Yeah. Thankfully, on that occasion, the CUNTs didn't win, you know.
Yeah. But speaking of them, what about Ed Sheeran?
So hang on a second before we move on.
Okay.
Check it out. Should people watch his Dark Materials? Would you recommend it?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay, good. First recommendation.
Yes.
His Dark Materials. It's on Netflix, isn't it?
It is on, yeah.
It's his Netflix special, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. There's quite a few comedians on Netflix who've done one-hour stand-ups. I mean, I quite like Ricky Gervais again. Brilliant. He's done a Netflix special.
Yeah.
Some people do translate onto TV quite well and some people don't. The tall fella on Taskmaster was shit, I thought.
Okay, yeah. He's the teacher in...
the
deaf
school.
what's his name? Anyway, but Dave Chappelle's special is very good as well. And he kind of was cancelled and he talks a little bit about that. And that's very interesting. You should watch the Dave Chappelle one. And he says things that are like, you know, he says, I'm saying things now that are going to get me cancelled. But he says some crazy shit. And there's a bit of a backlash about it because he goes into the trans community.
Okay.
Obviously, I have the utmost respect for anybody who wants to live their life, whatever way they want to live it. You know what I mean? I don't mind if you want to, whatever you identify as is cool. But there was a great joke in Family Guy, where there's a woman sitting at the bar, and she's looking at her phone, and the barman comes over and goes, sorry, you're not allowed to look at porn at the bar, please, if you don't mind. And she was like, oh, but I'm trans. And he said, oh, in that case, do whatever you want forever.
There is a little bit of that about.
Yeah, but it is that thing of like, oh yeah, well then you can, like, it doesn't, like certain communities, oh well then you can,
yeah, just, you can
never do
untouchable.
Anything. Yeah, untouchable. Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of feel like it's probably difficult enough for the trans community. So, you know, fair enough. Let them just do whatever they want. I'm down with that. So Dave Chappelle, I would recommend if you're talking about specials. And I can't remember, this is just totally typical of our podcast. I can't remember the name of James Acaster. Do you like James Acaster?
I don't know who James Acaster is.
Oh, he's very funny. Check out his latest special. It got nominated for like a Tony.
Is he American?
No, he's English.
James
Acaster, yeah.
Acaster.
And he's got a special on Netflix. So there's a few to check out. Check it out.
What's it all about? I've been listening to a lot of podcasts actually and stuff like that. And again, I'm brought back to Desert Island Discs. Very rarely does it fail to impress me. Apart from Jesus Christ. Your one from the Bake Off. Prue Leaf.
Oh yeah, Prue, yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God, she's dull. Terrible.
I listened to her talking, which she have done with James O'Brien as well.
She did one with James O'Brien. It was very, very good, but she did, you know, well, it was good-ish, but it wasn't, but the yeah, it just didn't, but to cleanse my mind of that, I listened to the Richard Osman one, the Christmas special.
Oh, and that's good, is it?
Phenomenal. And I finished his book, The Thursday Murder Club, 2 days before I listened to it.
Lovely.
So, yes.
And I presume, I haven't listened to that one, but I presume the music choices are good. I mean, his...
Really surprising. Really surprisingly bad.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, because his brother is in
the band. Suede.
Suede, yeah.
Yeah. I never knew that.
Did you not know that?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No. Didn't know anything about him. I just thought he was the tall, geeky guy off the television.
Yeah, no.
He is the tall, geeky guy off the television. Yeah.
His brother's in Suede, yeah.
Talks about his eyesight, talks about his brother giving him sort of his brother. He could have sat back and sort of like begrudged his brother his fame. You know, he's watching his brother on Top of the Pops with the lead singer of Suede.
Brett Anderson.
And he thought, no, this is great. This means that somebody who lives in this house, in this estate, can go on to do great stuff. So off he went. It was fascinating. Really, a really good listen now. But yeah, the music was shit. But he picked some show tune that was really awful. It was like there were two pieces of music, and myself and Sally Ann were listening to it in the car going, what the fuck is this? Shit.
Oh, deadly. I love, you see, Desert Island Discs, I forget about for a while. And then every few months, I can go back and go, oh, I forgot about this. I can delve into it for a few. You know, I listen to so many podcasts. Like,
no.
I just get through them. Do you know what I mean? There aren't enough podcasts out there. At some stages during the week, I'm like, what the fuck am I going to listen to? Don't make me put on the radio.
I know. Well, speaking of that, I've started listening to 8 Radio. We talked about it last week.
Yeah.
Because John Loftus, this guy who I met on a night out, does a show, and he sent a link. And then when I go into the kitchen now, it's, hey, Google, play 8 Radio. Because the other reason I've listened to that is because the time I usually go into the kitchen and fiddle around and do the washing up after dinner and all that kind of stuff, John Creedon is normally on.
Yeah.
But your man, Fignal, Brian on FOBRAIA.
From the Hot House Flowers.
Yeah. He's on, but he whispers. It's like, fucking hell, you're trying not to wake somebody up. And I can't hear what he says. It's like, fucking talk, man. I like the music, but it's just but then he goes, call me at FOBRAIA. Say nobody has ever tweeted him because he's fucking alleged. Like, you just can't understand what he said. That's FOBR. Yeah.
What's FOBR? Anyway, so,
who can spell O fucking brain?
He has to spell it out. Oh, come on.
That's FO. It's just like, why don't you ask Fiacra? For fuck's sake.
FOB. FOB.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Wouldn't we do that? Wouldn't that
be FOB at RT? I'd be there. I'd be emailing him every fucking day, even if I didn't listen to the show.
So he annoys me. So I went on to 8 Radio, and I'd been talking to some relatives in New Zealand, and I thought, oh, I'll listen to some Kiwi talk radio. So I thought,
Kiwi talk radio?
Yeah. So I went, hey, Google, is there a news talk New Zealand playing Auckland NB or whatever it's called? Actually, I wrote it down. News Talk ZB. And I listened to the talk radio at 8 o'clock at night. You listen to the 9 o'clock news now, and I rush out to listen to the 9 o'clock news. Yeah, it's a good day here, and the weather and the sport, and then there's a phone in, and it's fucking fascinating because everybody has been thinking that New Zealand was the best place on the planet for dealing with COVID. And this guy put it out there, who's better than us? And people were saying, Japan, Korea, they've got it sorted. This place is a shit show. And it like really like doing themselves down. Wow. And everybody else is holding them up as this guiding light. Yeah, and they're going, some DJ, I don't know if you've heard about it, some English DJ got you get a special visa to go to New Zealand now. And it's got to be for financial reasons or all sorts of stuff, like to actually for the good of the New Zealand.
You have
economy.
To be bringing something to the economy. Australia is very similar as well. Yeah, if they have to show that they don't have that person in the country that can do that job already. Something like that, I think.
I know, but this is just for a transit fee. This is like literally to go in and do a job and go out.
Oh,
so this
okay.
guy was doing a gig.
Yeah.
So they thought it was going to be good. Like, give him a 5-day pass. He brought fucking Omicron.
I'm just going to drop my latest single. I mean, infection.
I live out in Rotorua here in New Zealand.
Bloody Rotorua.
The way we treat rabbits out here, they're just a fucking pissed, eh? And that guy from England, bring him to my farm, hang him up to fuck on him by the fucking ankles. He's like, beep, beep. Yeah, thank you very much for your call. Lynch mobs were being called for this guy, this English guy, this fucking DJ who's obviously
I can't believe an English DJ brought Omicron. Fucking hell.
He didn't take his 10-day test the 10th day. He stayed in whatever for 9 days. It's not a global, and I was trying to Google it then, trying to find out, and it's all on the New Zealand papers, but nothing. Of course, the English aren't mentioning it because, like, oh no, we would never export anything bad. And it's like, oh, this fucker, you know, he's gone there and he's done his 9 days. And on day 10, he just goes, fuck it, I go to the shops and buy some crisps. It infects the whole population. Not funny, but, you know.
Yeah, funny. It is funny.
Fucking Omicron.
Oh, my God.
I can't. Yeah.
Jesus.
Speaking of C words, what about Ed Sheeran? No, we'll keep Ed to the last.
Ed, we'll talk about Ed later. Oh, here's something, because we're down there, because we're in I was going to say the Antipodean.
What's the Antipodes?
Yeah, the Antipodes. Tasmania.
Oh, yeah.
There's a movie on Netflix called The Nightingale.
Oh, okay.
And it's set in Tasmania, and it is sort of the Irish convicts sent to Tasmania. Tasmania's been run by the British soldiers. And basically they're kind of using the convicts to do the work, and they're killing off and I say this because this is what they call themselves, the Blackfellas. So they're killing off the Aboriginals. And it is however many hundred years ago, and it's the story of Claire and her husband and their baby, and Claire ends up needing to enlist the help of this Aboriginal called Billy to help her find this British soldier that she wants to kill. It's rough, it's dark, there's scenes in it that, you know, maybe you'd rather not witness, but it's raw, it's fucking raw. It's like, did you see the film Black 47 that was about the famine?
No.
Well, that wasn't great. Like, it was,
I was really looking forward to seeing Black 47 because I was really hoping that somebody would make the film about the famine, you know, but it wasn't great. But The Nightingale is kind of what Black 47 could have been. It's really good. It's brilliant.
Okay. Van Diemen's Land. Off we go.
There you go. So
I think I may have had some relatives on both sides of my family in Van Diemen's Land.
Sent off on the boat.
Yeah.
For robbing an apple.
Yeah, robbing a bike, I think.
Robbing an Apple computer.
A laptop.
It's only a laptop.
Lipped up, eh?
I really lipped it. Yeah. But yeah, The Nightingale is brilliant. It's on Netflix. So there you go. That's another one for you to check it out. Here, listen.
Yeah,
I tried a bit of stand up the other night. Speaking of whoever we were talking about, stand up wise earlier. I'm working up my Netflix special. I'm working on my Netflix special, Mike.
So how did I know? Because you run a stand-up show.
Yeah, a comedy club. Yeah,
it's a comedy club.
I don't host it. I set it up. So it's me, the owner. This guy owns the bar, Vivian. Really cool guy. He owns this bar in Newbridge. And we got chatting and I said, look, I'd love to do a comedy club. He said, you can have upstairs. He'd put a lot of effort and money into sort of doing upstairs up when things were shut down. He's trying to get, you know, good bands in, getting good gigs on. So I was like, well, I'll do a comedy night once a month. And he was like, brilliant. Yeah. So he sort of, you know, gives me the run of the place, sort of. I just booked the acts. And we've got Emma Dorn as our, she's our regular MC. So, I mean, so like I wouldn't be good enough to host a comedy night myself. You need to be an MC. You need to have, it takes skill and it takes experience. Maybe at some stage in a few years, I might be able to, but I need to do a bit of training first.
It never used to take sort of, they used to, the MC used to come out and tell a one-liner and then, and your next guest is.
You know, yeah.
Now since the dawn of sort of not even jonglers, but, oh, there's a man.
Hey, buddy.
I have your iPad, I need to watch Ted Lasso.
You're going to watch Ted Lasso?
Yeah.
On my iPad? Yeah. Yes, you can have my iPad to watch Ted Lasso. Say hello to the podcast listeners.
Hi, podcast listeners.
This is Finn, and there's Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Finn, how's it going?
Here.
How's it going?
Yeah. It's oh yeah, good. Of course you can't hear because you're on your headphones. Yeah. I did hear him say Ted Lasso though.
He's off to watch good? Ted Lasso. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, definitely worth. Would you say it's good? Thumbs up. Thumbs up for Ted Lasso.
Not for
okay. Oh shit.
Careful on your way out there, bud. Bye. See you later. There
goes an iPad on the floor.
But yeah, so what the MC does now is they come out and they warm up the crowd. So they'll do a bit of crowd work. Oh, where are you from? What do you do for a living? What's, you know, and they get to know the crowd and they get everybody warmed up and then they introduce the first act. And so the night goes, it's MC, first act. You might have a second act then, first act, second act to do 15 minutes each. You take a break. Then your MC comes back, brings on a newcomer. So you need to get the crowd warmed up and get them hyped up for the newcomer. The newcomer might do 5-10 minutes. And then you've got your headliner. MC comes back on, introduce the headliner. Headline will do 20 minutes, whatever. So that's the structure of the night. And yeah, it's my job to book the acts. And
But did you do a newcomer slot?
Yeah, so I did the newcomer slot then.
Wow. Well.
Yeah, fuck. I mean, I didn't prepare as well as I did. Say for the one man show, there was a lot like this is like the one man show was a result of like 2 years of writing and rewriting and rehearsals and all that kind of stuff and working. So when I came out for the hour, I had the script off by heart. You saw it, you know what I'm talking
about. Yeah.
So this was a bit more experimental. So I kind of went out and just tried a few lines or things or thoughts, you know. So I suppose with stand-up comedy, you could, if you were interested in working up 20 minutes or having a solid 20 minutes or solid half hour or solid hour, you'd work it up by doing 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes here or there until you've, and a lot of the stuff, like even the other night, like it's a lot of just comedians, oh, I thought of something, a new joke, I'll try that out. So it's very interesting. But yeah, I was supposed to do 5 minutes. I might have done nearly 10 minutes. I don't know.
Okay.
But I have no real memory of it. just I had stuff written down in a notebook.
What was the audience participant? Did, like, when you say you had stuff written down, did you look at it? Did you reference it? Or was it all off your head?
It was stuff I'd written down. Like, and part of, I suppose, the stuff that people were laughing at was like, I've got notes written down here, but I can't even read my writing. So I have no clue what it says. It's no use to me. But it's but it's a handy anchor. I can just keep going back to it. And it makes me look like I know what I'm doing. But I talked about my wife was there and the two kids, Finn and Anna, were there. So,
oh, Jesus.
So that kind of made it a bit difficult. But I really wanted to talk about this, a very personal thing between myself and my wife, you know?
In front of your kids?
Yeah, it was very difficult. So I kind of said, because I run the club, I was like, you see, I'm in charge of this club, so I have to book the acts. And also, like, if it doesn't sell well, obviously I need to make sure it sells well, or the owner will be after me. So I said, so obviously I invited all of my family here. And I was like naming them out. I was like, my brother-in-law's here, my sister-in-law's here, my wife is here, my son is here. So now I can't talk about the stuff I want to talk about. So I can't talk about the sex stuff that I wanted to talk about. And then I just said, so I'm going to talk about a friend of mine.
Oh, no. Oh, God. So and did you then go on to talk about your... Oh, no.
Yeah, the sex thing, but from my friend's point of view, yeah.
Oh, no.
And the whole thing was about the time my wife decided she was obviously listening to some podcast or reading some magazine.
Decided what? You know, he's like, I'm hanging on your every word. Yeah.
I think she was listening to Sheila Shoiga's podcast about sex and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So she decided one week that we were going to have sex every day for a week without fail. It was an experiment.
It was an experiment.
Which, of course, to me, I mean, my friend, was brilliant, you know, because I started off talking about like how men are basically just sex pests.
Yes.
Yeah, we basically just want sex all the time.
Yes. So
when your wife turns around, you would imagine that you would want to have sex every day. So if your wife turns around, we're going to have sex every day for 5 days. It's like,
ka-ching.
Here we go.
Only 5 days?
Well, yeah, I think it was, we started on the Monday and then it was maybe sick. I don't know.
Turned into a fucking Craig David song. Chilled on Sunday.
Lost gout. So my daughter's in college, my friend's daughter's in college, and my friend's son is in school. I was working from home, and so is my friend's wife. This is getting a bit confusing. So I drop himself to school, come home, and then this is when we'd, you know, go at it, as it were. But basically, the story was about, like, by Thursday, I was like driving home from the school after dropping my son going off, for fuck's sake. Here we go again.
I'd rather go to Lidl.
I think, how am I going to get out of this? First 2 days, 3 days, great. By Thursday, you're like, for fuck's sake.
You think you'd be going woohoo, but it's like, oh, fucking hell.
And I just thought, like, if your husband is a sex pest and is always at you and thinks he could have sex every day, just fucking do the, we're having sex every day for 5 days.
That's a great idea. Call it the 5-2.
The 5-2. It's not going to work if your husband is like in his 30s, because he'll easily do the 5 days.
Or you've just met.
No, because that's, you're doing that anyway. I'm talking later on, you know, 40s, 50s. That's when you want to try it out. And then he'll know exactly what he's aiming for. And then he'll never bother you again.
Yeah, I'm laughing, but I don't really identify with what you're saying.
You do that anyway. You have sex every day for 5 days anyway.
Twice a day, at least.
Well, basically, after this experience, I stopped even bothering myself anymore. You know what I mean? I don't even masturbate anymore. I'm just like, fuck no. I don't even want to encourage myself.
The thought of it.
Put me right off.
Turns you into a woman. You're going trans.
That's why I'm growing my hair out long.
Excuse me.
You're all right, Mike. Sorry. But so that was kind of yeah, and I started, it was kind of like jokes and stories and stuff. But the joke was I was talking about like how this is my midlife crisis, which I started off the hour.
Yes. So look,
this is literally my midlife crisis. You're watching a man in the midst of his midlife crisis, just trying stand up for the first time, nearly fucking 50 years of age. And I said, look, I know I don't look that old. I look younger. I've got good skin. I don't have many
wrinkles. Lots of moisturizing.
I was saying, like, I have my parents to thank for that. They got me the Botox vouchers for Christmas. It was an actual joke.
And how did that go down?
They laughed, and I was like, yay, and we're off.
Good stuff, yeah.
And then it was downhill from there. But
no, I would have liked to see that. I would have liked to see, because for the cringe factor of your wife and children being in the room, I think that's what, you know, that's what you want in comedy. That's what I want in comedy.
Yeah.
Is to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. I was listening to somebody talking about comedy, and they were like, whatever it is in your head that you think you shouldn't talk about, that's the comedy.
Yes.
And that day I was thinking, I can't fucking do that stuff. I can't talk about that because my wife, you know, and as soon as I started thinking like that, I was like, that's the only thing I need to talk about. That is. So I could not, you know, unfortunately for my wife.
And my children. I watch Ted Lasso, Dad. Yeah, you watch whatever you want, son. Try and blank that stuff out of your mind.
It was funny because he said to me during the week, he said, was that true about your friend, Dad? So it totally went over his head. And I was like, no, I made it up. He wasn't really paying attention.
And your daughter patted you on the ass on the way out.
She hasn't spoken to me since. But that's it. So I'm hoping to do a lot, do more of that. That's my, you know, my 2022 something is to do stand up and work
off. I think you'd be good at it, yeah. Especially the emceeing bit and sort of like that's where you kind of cut your teeth, isn't it? Sort of, because that's even more difficult, really, is to tease somebody up in a sort of positive way while being funny yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Once you can do that, the sort of 10 minutes on your own kind of becomes easy because somebody's teeing you up for the role, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I mean, look, I've always been fascinated with it, and I've always sort of like been afraid to try it. So yeah, fuck it. I'm going for it, Mike.
Yeah. But didn't your buddy, the guy who used to be on 2FM do
Bernard?
Yeah. Bernard bring people through the whole sort of from normal to sort of stand up.
Did you mean like a program? No, I don't think he did. I think he did a thing with a guy who wanted to do stand up. Like he did a few different things. Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah, he did that. He did that quite recently, didn't he?
Yeah, and the other fella did it as well. The American Irish guy.
Who's Dez Bishop. He brought one of my guests, Willa White.
Yes, Willa. I don't know what.
Willa.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Willa.
Willa's brilliant.
Eric, there's another comedian. Why can't I think of his name? But yeah, a few comedians came through that as well. But yeah, no, it's a bit of crack. It's something to be doing. And now that I don't drink, I can just drive up to Dublin and do something on a Friday night and try it home. It's not a problem, you know. So that's where I'm at, Mike.
Yeah, you don't want to be drunk doing that sort of stuff, though, because if you lose your train of thought, you know when you're drunk in a pub and you start telling the joke and then you think, shit, I have forgotten the end of that fucking joke. And I know I don't. And you ever do that and you're just kind of like...
Oh, yeah, all the time, not even drunk.
I know, no problem doing it when I'm sober, but when I've had a couple of beers, like, oh, and they get really bad, and then you double down on it and you're sort of,
flailing around. It's when you wake up the next day and you're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
And everything is embarrassing. But you know what? I remember my joke about my friend coming to see the show and walking out at that very poignant moment.
Yes.
I was going to do that joke. So, and I lost my train of thought. It was only the next day I went, oh yeah, fuck. Forgot to tell that bit. The funny bit.
so worried were you that you were kind of like, you thought you were going to go out and have to cuddle this guy and sort of like.
But I was talking about the show. Like I was thinking, I did a very typical Irish white straight man thing. I wrote a show about myself, about my own life, and I toured it, and it's a one man show, and I'm the only one allowed in it.
Just in case anybody else gets any money off it.
No, it's fucking me. It's me telling my story because I'm so interesting. Yeah. And I'm... the fucking arrogance of it, Mike.
No. No, I disagree on that, actually. We haven't spoken enough about your show on this show, but I do think it was very, 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 very good. And I think it's a story that needs to be told specifically because it's so normal. But nothing in it, if you're listening outside of this country or outside of the Irish experience of living in sort of anywhere in Ireland, actually, we would relate to it and kind of think, shit, that happened to me. Mm. All that stuff happened to me. And I've never thought about it. It just goes to show you, you should just stop and think about your own childhood and the way we were reared in this country in the 70s and the 80s. And you think, fucking hell. What were we like? You know, no food in the house whatsoever, but fucking dressing up to go to church on a Sunday morning. Mm. Madness. Mm. You know, absolute fucking madness. And thinking that that was perfectly acceptable.
Mm.
You know?
Oh, yeah. We were fucked up.
Oh, yeah. It's a story that very much needs to be told.
We were fucked up, Mike. Fucked up. Yeah, anyway, so that's it. I may do it again. I may try it again. Stand up.
Dude.
What else from you, Mike?
I've got a bone to pick now with Sabrina Perry. She's an OG.
Oh, Sabrina Perry.
Yeah.
What's wrong with Sabrina?
Sabrina sat down to watch Die Hard last night. Boyfriend, perfectly logical, says this is a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an age-old debate. I come down very much on the side of Die Hard is a great movie. Be my number one. Maybe number two, but up there with Love Actually. But I was kind of disgusted that it never comes into the debate that Die Hard is a bad movie. I mean, that's sacrilege. Die Hard is not a bad movie, regardless of whether it's Christmassy or not. Yes. And Die Hard 2 is arguably more Christmassy, but Die Hard is not. Nagatomi Towers going up in smoke is not a bad film in any way, shape, or form.
Okay. And did Sabrina contact you to tell you that it was a bad movie?
She tweeted that it wasn't Christmassy and it was a bad movie.
Ooh.
That's unacceptable.
Okay.
That is completely unacceptable. Okay. And I'd just like to set the record straight. You know, on behalf of Bruce Willis fans everywhere. Love Actually, she said, don't even go there. It was like, what the fuck? What, you know, Love Actually is one of the best films ever, Christmas or not.
Okay, Love Actually is not too bad. It's okay. I don't think I've ever really watched Die Hard.
What?
I don't think I've ever really watched it. I've never seen it from start to finish. I've seen clips of it if it's been on the telly, but I have never watched it. Sorry, Mike.
Nagatomi Towers. So you won't get the thing that I retweeted on Christmas Eve as a call out, 911 call. Nagatomi Towers is under attack.
Well, I mean,
see, that's the beginning of Christmas.
Yeah, it wouldn't mean nothing to me, Mike. Is the podcast over? Is that it? Are we done?
This is the end of a beautiful relationship. A stand-up shit.
It took us 2 years to finally.
Oh, ultimately. Yeah. You've got to watch Die Hard. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I'll do it for you, Mike.
And while you're out watching stuff, I know you're not into the Marvel Universe, and I know a lot of people that listen aren't into the Marvel Universe and all this sort of stuff, and they all go, Hawkeye is my surprise of the year. Now, that was something that we watched as a family, and we binged as a family. We have never binged anything together. We've never had a series on... anything like that. We'd be sitting down, sort of eating dinner or whatever, and what did we watch? Watch Hawkeye. We were like, chucking the food down her mouth, like, go, queue up Corky. We'll watch two. We've got time to watch two now. Nobody's getting up early in the morning. Come on, let's go. Hawkeye was brilliant.
Where's Hawkeye?
Hawkeye is on Disney.
Okay, great. I'll watch. I'm up for trying stuff, you know. You know, mirrors
Jeremy
on the ceiling.
Renner, you know,
sex yeah, every day for mirrors. 5 days, you know.
Don't Hawkeye. Do that. Mirrors on the floor. Hawkeye's the guy with the bow and arrow. He's one of the Avengers.
Okay, cool.
Fuck's sake. I mean, the way you're saying that, okay, cool. I know you're not going to watch it.
I watch it.
You won't?
I'll check it out. I've been watching a thing called The Witcher.
Oh, yes. Yeah. My brother raves about that. I think I might, I you know, in the same vein as you. Yeah, I'll watch that. Yeah.
If I watch Hawkeye, you can watch The Witcher. Let that be okay. A deal.
Well, I'd like The Witcher.
Well, maybe I'd like Hawkeye. He's Hawkeye is the guy with the bow and arrow.
Yeah.
And he's the guy who says if the ball went over the bar or not in the GA.
Yes. Yes.
So he's two jobs.
Yes. He's very good.
We go off to Hawkeye now.
The ball. What the fuck? So he's very good. And he takes the piss at him. If you look on YouTube or whatever,
yeah,
you get him singing down. He sits down and plays an Ed Sheeran song on the piano. You know the honey, loving you too. But he does it because the Avengers have all got suit, like the Hulks and stuff.
Yeah.
And Thors and gods. He just has a bow and arrow. And he goes like, honey, I've got powers too. So they're archery.
And is that the actor who plays the part taking the pictures?
Yes. Yeah. You know, like it free mac and cheese.
Okay,
it's very, very good. Yeah.
I like it already. We should finish off on Ed Sheeran then, Mike.
Oh, fucking hell.
Or will we even bother?
It started me down a rabbit hole of watching all the Jules Holland stuff that I've had taped from the year. I kind of do that myself and Sally Ann every once in a while. We just, you know, you hit the reset button and watch Jules Holland.
Mm.
And you can watch some fantastic ones. I watched Damon Albarn. The special he did with him was phenomenal. Don't like Damon Albarn. Don't like the way he talks because he's got the whistle.
Oh,
his voice.
Yeah, he's Cockney, isn't it?
No, but he's got, no, he's not though. He's not. He's Mockney.
Yeah, he's Mockney,
But he got... But when he sang and when he played a bit of his thing, it was just beautiful. And we watched a load of that to sort of cleanse ourselves. And when we both sat down and watched Hootenanny, we'd seen the first half of it and then gone to bed. Couldn't stay up for Ed Sheeran. Was really looking forward to the Raglan Road thing. Yesterday, we sat down, watched it. I just thought, no, what is it all about?
What's it all about?
We both had to come out of the room, go straight into the kitchen and go, hey Google, play Raglan Road, the Dubliners. Play the version that everybody knows, Luke Kelly, to sort of cleanse. It's like when I hear Bono and Mary J. Blige singing One, I have to then stop everything I'm doing and listen to the original version of One because they cancel each other out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And to see him murder Raglan Road, not him specifically, but the girl
Joy Crooks.
Yeah. Who was okay on her own. But when she said, oh yeah, I'll play, that's my dad's favorite song. It's like, it's my dad's favorite song that I've never heard before. I don't know the lyrics to, and I don't even know the tune to. It was just like, fuck anyone, yeah, play it with me if you want. It was awful.
I thought it was okay. I thought it was like, it was absolutely grand in that, like, he was as good as, if you were in a pub and someone, if he got up, some lad, red hair and a guitar and sang Raglan Road like he did, you'd be like, oh, that's not too bad. Because
it's, but he sang the first word and he sang the first line and then she did it. She ruined it. And then he came in at the end.
He sang a verse, didn't he?
Yeah, but
and then she sang, but she didn't look like she
really knew the song.
No.
She didn't really know the air.
No.
I think she had a fairly dodgy grasp of the actual lyrics. I think they hummed a lot of it where she forgot the words and then they kept humming.
Yeah.
But I thought that I don't think they worked hard enough on it. It deserved more work and hard work. Or he should have just sang it on his own.
Did you see them when he actually, you know, she said it?
I missed that bit.
Okay, so he's talking away to Jules on the piano, and then they go, "Do you want? We're going to look forward to you. Let's play it. And it's her dad's favorite song, and he goes, "Oh, well, you can sing it with me if you want." And then Jules Holland went, "Maybe we will. Maybe we will." And kind of it gets a bit awkward, and then it's like, anyway, Joy sing a song. She did. And then about half an hour later, but she said something along the lines of, if I did sing it with you, I'd have to read the stuff on my iPhone or whatever. Yeah, all right, yeah. And Jules Holland's looking at the camera, kind of going, what the fuck have we just done? And that's why they say at the beginning of it, you know, this is what live music is all about, and da 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 da. And it was just shit.
Well, then, no,
they shouldn't have done it.
But is that there's two musicians jamming something out that they've never sang together before? I feel like that should have been rehearsed to within an inch of his life. I think
absolutely for the Edge. Hoot money, which isn't even fucking live. What's the point?
They could easily have just re-recorded it. I don't know. I think Ed, in fairness to him, is kind of a cool guy. He's like, it doesn't matter, it's a fucking song. Because ultimately, it doesn't matter, it's a song. And ultimately, Patrick Kavanagh wrote the poem, and this is what most of the UK were watching on New Year's Eve, was a Patrick Kavanagh poem being sung.
Being murdered, being hummed, because they forgot the fucking words. I mean, I think it was disrespectful on so many levels. And I get the whole thing, you know, that it's bringing Patrick Kavanagh to a whole new audience and blah, blah, blah. Lots of people were sort of like, on Twitter, they were all like, oh no, let's not, you know, it's a beautiful thing. It's like, oh, fucking hell. No, it wasn't. They murdered it. They really did. It was car crash television.
Do you know what makes the GAA such a success and Premier and football in general? It's not necessarily the football. It's the fucking talk around. It's the controversy. It's a talking shop. As my father-in-law says about the GAA, it's a talking shop. That's all it is. Yeah. It's a talking shop. So if Ed Sheeran gets up and does a bad version of Raglan Road and everyone's talking about him, how bad is it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. I just don't want to agree.
No. And when I watched Ed doing his song earlier, I was like, this is what's impressive about Ed Sheeran. He's playing this loop, but then he's playing this loop. He builds the song on his own, which people forget. So when Ed Sheeran's in concert, he's up there with the pedals and the fucking, like at one point he was playing a song and he hit like 1, 2, 3, 4 pedals at the same time as he sang the song to get rid of the guitar and the drums and the whatever. And like, that's why Ed Sheeran is so brilliant.
We had that exact same conversation. Look at the way he looked at his footwork, and he was even doing the recording that. And then he'd stop and then he'd tap these things. And like, he had feet of flames. Like, how can you remember what's on what pedal and what's on one thing? Mm. He could so easily have made a balls of everything. The whole beat at the wrong time. How does that work? And he doesn't. He just and it comes out perfectly. And then he did the next song with the quartet, which was lovely, really nice, almost emotional. And then he fucking murdered Raglan Road.
He should have just done it on his own. I didn't realize.
Oh yeah. And there was no need for it. There was no need for them to let that go out.
And also, do you want to be having a go at Raglan Road? Do you know what I mean?
No, you don't.
In the first place, save yourself the hassle. But people are talking about it, Mike. People are talking about it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, oh, fucking people too much.
Poor old Joy Crooks took the joy out of it for everybody.
She did, and I don't like her style of singing anyway.
And then afterwards, she was like, Raglan, oh, I thought you meant Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Or Ramblin' Rose or something. I honestly think she got the wrong
song. She got the wrong song.
Yeah. She had no idea what she was singing.
she was like Bob Dylan singing one of his own songs. Nobody knows what the fuck is going on.
She actually does sound like somebody who gets up in the pub and has that couple of the 3 pints in. And starts humming and
you know the way there's some songs you think you know them.
Have you
get up to sing them in karaoke, you're like, I don't fucking know this song at all. I know two lines, and even them I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh Christ. That's what drink does to you though.
There you go.
Mike, and better actually get back to your family. And what's the plan for the evening?
Dunno, gonna unpack the shopping. Probably take my heart, well, not my heart rate, my blood pressure rate a couple of times again.
Take that off your Mickey.
Yeah, exactly. Put it on my, strap it to my, imagine strapping those things to your testicles. Fucking hell, squeak.
Some people are into that, Mike.
I know. Yeah. I'm not. I'm not into pain.
I wouldn't even suggest that to my wife. She'd be like, okay, we'll do that every day for 5 days.
Day five, we attach nipple clips. To a 12-volt battery. I haven't seen your father in 2 days.
What was the screaming the other? The neighbors heard screaming. Are you going to watch on the telly?
No, a load of stuff taped from Christmas, so we'll probably kind of get through that.
When are you back to work?
Not back till the 10th.
Oh man, nice one.
When are you back? On the 3rd?
Day after tomorrow.
Yeah, 4th, is it?
4th. Yeah, but it's nice. Yeah. It's kind of a short weekend. I don't know. It'll be nice to go back to work and not have to do a play as well.
Yeah, you won't know yourself.
Mm.
You'll have all this time.
I know.
To work on your stand up.
Might actually be useful to them.
What have you planned for the evening? Have you had your dinner yet? No.
No, I put on a chickpea. Vegan chickpea curry. I'm going to have that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you make it yourself?
I sure did, yeah.
Oh, wow. Just before you go, what are the sort of the herby spices?
Well, it's, it's a curry, basically. So it's onions. It's your onion, your chopped onions.
Okay, yeah.
And your garlic. And then you've got your cumin, curry powder. And then it's kind of up to you, like paprika, if you like paprika.
Yeah.
You could throw in a bit of garam masala if you want, you know, just half teaspoon of each. Bit of red chili. You can chop a chili, or you know, you have the jar. If you get that jar of chili, bit of ginger, a tin of tomatoes, 400 gram tomatoes, a tin of coconut milk, and a tin of chickpeas. Chuck them all in. Bit of salt. You won't put any salt in. Salt and pepper to taste. And just let it simmer there for half an hour should do it, but I like to let it simmer for longer just to really get the flavors going. So that'll has been simmering away since just before we started the podcast. So I'm going to have that with a bit of rice.
That sounds really, really. Oh, we found some new rice. Powwow rice.
What does this mean?
Fucking hell. I think it's powwow, P-O-W-O or P-O-W-A or... It's spelt a load of different ways.
Like pilau rice?
No. This is so they cook the rice.
Yeah.
They desiccate it, dry it, and flatten it. So it looks like flakes of, looks like tiny flakes of almond almost.
Almond rice, yeah.
Right? But, so you bring it to the boil, you put some water, you know, you put it in hot water, bring it to the boil, fuck it into a sieve. And the amount of water that's left in the sieve after you give it a little shake, you then throw it into a salad or a stir fry or whatever, and that's it. It really takes zero cooking. It's rehydrated. You pop it in, and it's hot, and it starts taking the flavor of whatever you throw it into.
Wow.
Phenomenal. We watched a woman cook with this stuff last night. We went to Khan's Indian supermarket in Limerick today, and Sally Ann went straight in there and bought some powwow rice.
Excellent, because I'll be up in Dublin at some stage, probably next week. Nice one, powwow rice. I'll check it out. I will.
Check it out.
What is it all about? Mike, thank you very much for your powwow rice tips. Enjoy your dinner. I'll see you soon. Next weekend, possibly.
Hopefully. Miss you.
Try and do it every weekend now.
Happy New Year.
Do it every day for 5 days. We tried that before. We didn't get through day two.
Oh, that was a total clusterfuck.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks to the listeners. You've been listening to the Keep Watch podcast. I don't know what it's about either. I don't know.
What's it all about? Yeah, but thanks for listening.
Thanks to Acast.
Thanks to everyone.
Thanks to Happy New Year.
Yeah, don't look up.
Cheers. Don't look up.
Love you. Oh, Christ, he's eating that stuff again.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.